Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to TMSM Weekly Live. As you can see, Scott is not in the co-host chair tonight, but I'm really excited to tell you that my friend Kimberly Bouchard is here, who is an author. And if you remember, we did an interview with you last year.
That's right.
But you did it from home.
I did. And I get to be live tonight.
No, that's so exciting. And I do remember also that we chatted quite a bit, and we could have talked for hours at that point. So we're really excited to have Kimberly here. If you were at the House of Mouse Expo or you watched any of the live feeds, then you know that Kimberly was a guest at our expo, and she was talking about her cookbook, which we're going to talk about. And she actually did a panel as well with some of our guests that were there who are also in your cookbook. So let's get started. We're going to talk about other things as well, like what's behind the cookbook, because that's a whole subject in itself, right? So we are going to talk about Festival of the Arts, but I wanted to talk about all the good stuff with Kimberly first. So it's the Positively Disney cookbook, and she's got recipes from a huge amount of celebrities, and they're pretty easy recipes to follow. So you go ahead and tell them all about it.
I will. So one thing that's really special about this cookbook is it's personal recipes from the celebrities. They're not just like picking a recipe out of some cookbook and throwing it at me, but it also has their story. And that makes it even more special. And trust me, they have to be user friendly because I'm not a professional chef. So I had to be able to make these. And so easy to follow. You can see them. You're not like squinting your eyes up to try to read it. Trust me, they're easy and they're so good. I am now, I'm not going vegetarian, but I would if I had my cookbook because I love the vegetables.
Did you want to flip through one and tell them how easy some of these are or share maybe one of the stories?
Oh, boy.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so I just switched, found Margaret Carey's recipe, Tia Margaret's Pinwheel. So she actually had the longest story in here, but Margaret Carey doesn't cook. She's actually never cooked in her life. This is her one and only recipe she's ever cooked in her life. And just to give an idea, so it's a pinwheel. It's steak that's marinated and seasoned, and you cut it and you roll it and deep fried and all that. But it's super easy and they're really delicious. My sons inhaled them. And but Margaret, when I showed her the photo, because I always take a photo of what I make so I can put it on my Instagram or Facebook, and she said, "Oh no, those aren't done right." So she told me that she cuts her meat with scissors. I said, "Well, Margaret, we don't cut our meat with scissors, so that's probably why they don't look as big and thick as yours." But anyways, it was super fun. But that's just like it's a super easy recipe. Let's see, another one. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, well, I have to tell you that when I said I would become a vegetarian, I mean, I'm not really going to, but I now love vegetables. Oh my gosh. So the Voice of Andy provided roasted orange carrots with orange zest and orange juice. Who would ever figure that you would put that on carrots? Oh my word. Woo, hallelujah moment. And our lovely Paige O'Hara, the voice of Belle, has this ginger garlic green bean recipe. And she used to only make it for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And she said, even kids will learn to love green beans. And I'm telling you, she makes it now regularly. And so do I. And it was great. At Thanksgiving, I did the roasted carrots and the green bean recipe to add to my traditional stuff. And it was so fun to be able to share with everyone the story behind these dishes. It was so cool. They're like, "Oh, really?"
You have some really impressive people in that book. When I was flipping through it, I was like, "Oh my gosh, you have recipes from Carrie Fisher mm-hmm. and Debbie Reynolds that mm-hmm. Carrie's brother Surprised you. I want to hear about that.
Yeah. So Todd and I are actually friends. His story with Carrie is in the other series, the Positively Disney series, so the Star Wars edition. But, you know, Todd called me one day. He's like, okay, are you ready to record this? And I'm like, okay, what am I in for? Because he had provided me with Debbie's, a recipe or two of Debbie's, and a story with it. And so he went on to tell me the story and the recipe that is not found in a cookbook of Carrie's. But what is so special about Carrie's guacamole recipe is all the A-listers that went to their events, their parties, and that would have that dish. That's what they would have. And there is other recipes that, so their family was very much, grew up on Tex-Mex. Now, thinking Tex-Mex, I don't know about you, but I think spicy.
Yeah,
you know?
Kind of. Uh-huh.
But guess what? They are not into spices at all. Oh. It's totally mild. So one thing that they, and I mean, I was kind of new to the whole Mexican food. I didn't even like Mexican food till I moved to the U.S. about 11 years ago, because we didn't have Mexican restaurants in Canada, really. And anyways, her guacamole has to go with their tacos. You can't have tacos in their house without the guacamole. So guacamole was everywhere. And there's a real way of choosing the right avocado that his great grandmother taught them. And that's in there. Yeah, well, isn't that fun?
See, you know, and it's stuff like that that you wouldn't even think about. I mean, and like I had said, you know, the recipes aren't just, you know, easy and fun, but the stories that go with them and the people that are supplying them.
Mm.
I mean, so who else do you think that our audience might like to know that's in this book?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, the voices of Goofy and Pluto, Bill Farmer, Caitlin Robrock, our voice of Minnie Mouse, Daisy Duck, our voice of Daisy Duck, Diane Michelle. Oh, I've got another story about that.
Okay.
Her.
Okay.
And let's see. So the original Donald Duck voice, Clarence Nash, I've got his recipe. I've got his handwritten recipe. So cool. I'm friends with his daughter, who's like my mom's age. She's like the sweetest person in the world. And well, who else am I missing? Am I missing any of the Fab Five?
No, are you?
Oh, Nikki!
We forgot about Nikki.
Okay, so Brad Iwin, who's the
official
voice, is in the book four. But there is another Mickey Mouse, which I didn't realize, Christopher Diamantopoulos. And he is Canadian, great, woo-hoo, Canada representing. And he does a lot of things. He's actually on, he's got a show out on Disney Plus too right now. But so he offered his recipe. I also have, good Lord. Okay, so actors from Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Frozen, Toy Story, Hocus Pocus, Pirates of the Caribbean, film directors, artists, gosh, Greg McCullough, Larry Dotson, gosh, I'm going to get into trouble if I forget anybody. Joseph Yakovetic.
There's a lot of people in here, so if you forget somebody,
that's fine. Just lots of people. Oh, Original Musketeers. Bubby. There is a Bobby, but Cubby. This is water in here, by the way.
I swear it is.
Musketeer, Cubby, Sherry, Sharon, and Annette Funicello's recipe.
That's great.
And this is kind of the big joke, because Annette's background is full Italian. So Musketeer Sherry and Annette used to ride together to the studio, because back in the day, women didn't all drive in those days. And so basically Sherry would take a bus over to Annette's house and they'd ride in the back seat to the studio. And so they got to be really good friends. Annette was like an older sister to Sherry. And so this Italian recipe that you would think that Annette would have is not so Italian. And she pulled the wool over her kids' eyes all their lives, thinking that it was this real family Italian recipe from the old country. And I'm not going to spoil it now with what the ingredient is in it, but you are going to die when you see what the ingredient
is. That's funny, because you're sitting here talking about, I was following your story, and you're talking about how women didn't drive and the Italian recipes. my grandmother's Sicilian, and she doesn't drive still. She's 93, but she never did that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and all her recipes and stuff. And you're like, but wait. It's not what you think it's going to be. Yeah. So now I have to look that up.
Oh, yeah. And I was mentioning Diane Michelle had her recipe. And what's really kind of fun for me is a lot of these people are still in touch with me. It's not like I just get their recipe and kind of done with it. And so Diane was emailing me just before Thanksgiving. And I don't know, we were talking food or something. And she said she had this amazing recipe for her grandmother. It was a turkey relish. Well, I love relishes. And I'd never heard of a turkey relish before.
No.
And I said, oh, would you like to share that with me? So before I know it, I get it in her grandmother's handwriting. Her grandmother's from Germany, and her grandmother's handwriting. So, of course, we got to try it. So my husband's the better cook in the family, but I'm the better baker. Anyways. He's better at creating. Anyways, we tried it. Oh my gosh, I could eat that every day, even for breakfast. It's so good.
See, yeah. I'm really thinking that we needed to start going through the book too. So if I could be, when I talked to you previously, I talked to you at the expo, and then I talked to you for quite a while when you were on our show last time. Mm-hmm. And if I remember incorrectly, please correct me because I always have things jumped
up. Fine.
Okay, all right. So did I remember you saying that you tried all of the recipes in the book?
I did not. No, no. The only thing.
Sorry.
No. But I will do all the if I'm at a convention, any of the celebrities, because there's always at least two or three or four at the same convention I'm at, I make sure I do their recipes.
Okay.
I didn't have time to do.
I was going to say, that's a lot of recipes. That's why I was asking.
110.
You.
Yeah, no. I
couldn't say, do
you've
that. Been
busy. Oh yeah, I'm busy. But yeah, so I've probably done about like 21, 22 recipes already, and I've made some of them twice because
they were that good.
So good, you know, and they fit into whatever I was doing. But you know, this was just before Christmas. We had the Christmas season, and I don't even know what today's Monday, right? January, whatever.
I know, I don't know either.
It's just like it's just lots of things going on, and so I try to cook what I can, but I will always make sure that I do the recipes of the folks that are in the conventions that I'm at, because I just want to give them the feedback and I incorporate it into my presentation, which is super fun.
Right. Mm. So you debuted this book at the House of Moss Expo.
I did. Yeah.
So how lucky are we that she actually debuted this with us at our expo? And she was talking about, you know, people that she works convention circuits or UC mm-hmm. with. And the same mm-hmm. thing with us as well. That's how I got to know some of the people that were there, like Jason Marsden for one. But it was really neat to me to know that, like, Doug Jones and Margaret and, you know, and Bill, mm-hmm. they were all guests at there for the debut of your book, and it just kind of all worked well together, didn't it?
It was strange because I had no idea really, you know, who was going to be there at all. I mean, I had all the recipes and things were going along, and then all this started happening. I'm like, well, wait a minute, that person's in the cookbook. I mean there are no coincidences. I really believe that, and it was so really amazing, all the people. I mean, I think that, I don't know, there's like 10, 11, 12 of them. I don't know.
The vast majority of the guests in your cookbook. And we didn't plan it that way.
No.
And then, you know, when we started booking guests for the expo, we didn't, you know, we didn't know who was in her book. We didn't know, you know, because she was debuting it. So it all just kind of was meant to be.
Super
how
fun.
It all came together mm-hmm. and how many people were excited to see that happen. And then everybody go in, you know, during your presentation and take photos with you and be on stage mm-hmm. with you. And I love that all happened for you.
You know, it was so fun. I knew that my presentation was going to get interrupted, but I had no idea when, and I didn't know who was going to be, you know, coming up there with me. And of course, none of the audience had any idea what was going on. They're like, what's going on here? All the, you know, so it was so fun. And, you know, one thing that I have found, and this is just as an author of the whole Positively Disney series, is when you interview people, and the same thing with the recipes, you get to know a side of that person that most people don't get to see. And so you kind of have this kind of little relationship, little bond happening. And it was so special when all these folks started joining me on stage, because it was big hugs, and it was like we were long lost friends. And it, I'll tell you, Disney has this way of bringing people together, don't they? But there's other times where it's extraordinarily magical, and that to that at that time it was for me.
I'm excited for you. And it was, I'm just really happy that that happened. And you're right that it's weird, because when you admire somebody's work on the screen or what they do, you look at them, you know, like, oh my gosh, they're a celebrity, they're this and that. But then when you actually get to know them, it's just so different.
Yeah, and I tell people, you know, because there are a lot of people in my wheelhouse that I you know, end up interviewing and meeting and that. But to me, they are not their role. They're
right.
People like us. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, so I'm very fortunate to see that other side of them, not just that celebrity side. And that's what made it super fun, that they could be there for the celebrity side, but they could also be there for the, okay, let's talk dinner and my grandmother's recipe and those memories those evoked, you know. It was very special to have that gel. So, yeah.
And you get the best of both worlds doing
it.
I do. And it's funny because, you know, even for myself, you know, I've gotten to, because of what we do through the Main Street Mouse, I've gotten to meet a lot of people that I never thought I would meet.
I know, right?
And it's like when, yeah. And then when you see them on the screen now or something, and it's like, it's just so weird. And I was trying to explain this to my sons, because you have boys too. Yes?
I have a girl and two boys.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have two boys. I remember you telling me that you had two, like I do. And, you know, and they're like, Mom, what's this like and what's that like? And, you know, it's just so different, especially because, you know, we had the Hocus Pocus panel at the House of Mouse Expo, and you had worked with them as well. Mm-hmm. And for years, that was like one of my favorite movies. I know like all the words of the movie. I'm that girl. Okay. I'm that girl. And as soon as I had kids, it was like, this is what we do on Halloween. We're watching Hocus Pocus.
That's the same as our house.
Okay.
Hocus Pocus is the movie.
Well, we did watch Great Pumpkin too, but that's not Disney, so we'll stay on
that. Okay.
I think everybody watched the Great Pumpkin,
yeah,
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
But you know, it just was very weird to me. Like, you know, when I met Jason Marsden and the boys are like, who? I go, Binks. Mm-hmm. They're like, Binks. You know, or being there with somebody like Doug Jones, mm-hmm. who you know now. And mm-hmm. Doug Jones, I will tell you guys, anything that you see in interviews or whatever, he's even that much more nice in person.
Yes.
He's probably, of all the people I've met, one of the most nice, genuine, caring, mm-hmm. wonderful, sweet mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. that's great that you get that experience to work with people that are like that.
Well, and I will tell you, everybody that's in any of my books and the cookbook, they're good people. Mm-hmm. They're all nice people. And Doug Jones, I mean, he's really from salt of the earth. I mean, he grew up, I think it was in Ohio or Iowa.
He's
or
Midwest.
Midwest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they come from very strong, the Midwest roots. It's very, very lovely. And, you know, there are people out there, of course, that you encounter that think they're all that in a bag of chips, but I don't have anything to do with them. So, you know,
good for you, though.
It's nice to see celeb power or whatever and niceness to top that.
All right. So I'm going to ask you this because it's my job to come up with weird questions.
Oh,
okay. So because all right, let me try to articulate how I mean, if you
okay.
can follow me, because
sure.
they know I go off track sometimes.
Sure.
But when you are working with somebody, there are times that, you know, because you're a fan, and we talked about that. Yes, we love what we do for a living, and I know you love doing what you do, but at the heart of it all, you're a Disney fan.
Mm-hmm.
You love Disney, you love the movies, you love the parks, you love all those things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's mm-hmm. where that root comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that, you know, I've had to do press events and I have to hold my fangirl in because I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, how did you, like, we did a press event with Keanu Reeves and Tom Hanks and stuff. And all they cared about was Keanu Reeves,
mm-hmm.
Reeves was there. And like, did you freak out? I'm like, no. But, you know, I'm like, you wait till you're over.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever had a moment where you had to hold your inner fangirl in, because you are a fan with somebody you're working with, whether it's a book or anything you've done. Did you ever have that, oh my gosh, moment?
You know what? It affects me afterwards. Like, I'm just like, oh, you know? I look at the person, and to me, it doesn't matter to me what they've done in life, because I know that's their role, is not what they do. But it's kind of fun to be watching movies like, oh, so the but the thing that is really the most, I think, amazing is that I never ever would have thought I'd be doing this. Never. This is my world now. And people, you know, catch up from high school reunions or whatever, and I'm just like, blah, 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 you know, saying this or that, and they're like, what? and to me, it's nothing. It's just what I do. Mm-hmm. And I love and feel very grateful that I can do that. And I am very lucky, because I get to meet all the good people in the world. I really do.
And you're a good person. Though. I mean, you're one of the sweetest people I've met. So it's kind of like the goodness that you have kind of just exudes out to the, you know, attracting the people. You're blushing. I didn't mean to make you blush, but you are. You're just so sweet. And it's just refreshing to see. And, you know, and I love the fact that you are so passionate about what you do, and it comes from a place of, you know, true love of Disney and all of those things. So I know that we talked about this a little bit when I had you on the show a long time ago, but we're going to refresh because it's been a while. Okay. So can we talk about a little bit about your Disney fandom, and like, all of this comes from a place of complete Disney magic at the heart of it. So let's talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about Where did all your magical beginnings start?
Oh, where did it start? You know what? Very humble beginnings. I mean, I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan in Canada, the middle prairie province, and was there for my first 5-6 years of my life. And the magic was in my living room with that castle, and Tinkerbell started The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights. And, you know, as a little kid, you know, you just think, what is there, and it doesn't really exist, you know. Not that I, you know, when I was older, I was like, well, that's just, you know, an animation, a cartoon. But then I got to go to Disneyland when I was 12 in a Volkswagen camper with our wiener dog named Max. No air conditioning, because we didn't have air conditioning up north. And it was 120 degrees going through the Mojave Desert.
Oh my gosh.
We stopped at every ice cream stand, and the two things, and I'll share the second thing, I have never shared this live before, that I remember about that Disney trip. So the very first thing that really affected me was walking through and seeing the castle real. It was real. It was real.
Yeah.
You know, a 12, you know, like, it's real. And then the second thing was, there was an American boy wanting me to come over. And I was traumatized.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It's true. And then, I had a couple of other memorable trips to Disneyland, not with my family, but when I was first out of high school, I worked in a daycare, and our daycare decided they were going to bring the kids to Disneyland in July. So I had to take care of 2 4-year-olds, a 6 and an 8-year-old. I was 18.
Oh my gosh.
And that was an experience. But it all got better when I met my husband, and who introduced me to Walt Disney World. And you know, people ask me, like, which park do you like the most? And I have to say, I mean, Disneyland is something very special. And to see the lamp in Walt, I mean, that just gets me every time.
Every time.
But you know what? I am a Walt Disney girl. I mean, it's got my memories of not only my husband, but my kids. I mean, I went to Disney. We went to Walt Disney World when I was pregnant with the boys. Like, our daughter was 14 months old. I was pregnant with Kristoff, and they were pregnant together just now. And I was thinking, well, we better get this out of the way, because I'm having babies. Guess what? We never got it out of the way. We just kept going.
We had
strollers and all that. But, you know, it's the only place that I actually, you know, in the U.S. that I have the biggest memories with my parents and my dad, who is not with me anymore. And so it really has a lot of meaning, extra meaning. And now I am a Floridian half-time now. So I'm very grateful to be able to have my little piece of paradise here. And you know, my husband's very happy that I'm happy because he loves Florida.
Everybody wins.
Yes,
right?
I do, for sure.
I want to kind of touch on that a little bit, how you said that, you know, you have your diehard Disneyland people and then your diehard Disney World people. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that don't like to budge, you know, like this one's better.
Oh, I know.
This one's better.
Yeah.
But you said something about, you know, Walt's lamp on Main Street. And I think that that a lot of people that, you know, I know we do primarily Disney World. And whenever we do coverage from Disneyland, a lot of people are so curious because they want to see the differences or, you know, what's so special. And I think for me, it's the nostalgia of it all because that's Walt's park. And, you know, Walt walk through that castle. And they still have so much of the original, like, what am I trying to say? You know, like the older rides with the older animatronics, and it still has that classic feel. They still have Mr. Toads out there, which the first time my kids went on that ride, they were like, Mom, what was that? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I was afraid of it at Walt Disney World when I was little.
Yeah.
I was terrified of it, but you know.
Well, they even have things. So Walt and Lillian Walt gifted Lily with a tree, and that is there. There, you know, the different artists I called it the Halloween tree, but it's in sort of where Liberty and Frontier, and it's always decorated with different jack-o'-lanterns all during the Halloween season. There's traditions there that you will not see at Walt Disney World. Disneyland being the mothership, so to speak, you'll see traditions there. And the thing that really got me was because I hadn't been to Disneyland in a long time, you know. So after going to Walt Disney World forever and going back to Disneyland, which I did a lot last year, it was like, oh my gosh, it's so easy to get from one land to another. It's nothing. And the Dole Whip line was in with the Tiki Birds, you know. So I was like, you know, so it's just, it's different. But one thing, I wish they had it. So I'm not a huge corn dog person, but I will tell you, have you ever had a hand dip corn dog on Main Street?
Yeah, look, Scott's raising his hand behind the camera. And he's like,
I know, they're the best. If you're not a corn dog lover, you will be after that.
So. You know, and I'm just gonna say, since we were talking about food and we're gonna keep talking about food. I will say, and this is just my opinion, I think the food out at Disneyland is better than Disney World. I like their churros out there better. You said the corn dogs. I mean, some of their food offerings.
They have a variety of flavors of churros.
Yes. Yeah.
And they don't have the same candy. So there's this stuff called English toffee that is like, I don't know.
Scott bought like seven bags of it.
Yeah, because you can't get it here. And it's really disappointing. But you know what? Any Disney park you go to, even Europe or Paris, they didn't have the same candy either. So I remember when I was in Paris and I'm like, oh, Disney, you know, and it's like, okay, this is Disney, but it's not the Disney I know. It's very different. It's very different.
And you know, it's funny that you say that because like he really enjoyed that candy at Disneyland. And then he tried to find something similar here at Disney World and we couldn't find it. So that he was glad that he bought extras.
Yeah.
But so he's like, oh, more now.
More.
I know.
See what I can do.
So you said that, you know, over, you know, in Paris it is different. So what's different out there? I haven't been yet.
Well, they have different attractions, first of all, and they smoke around the parks.
Do they really?
Oh, when I was there.
Interesting.
And, no, I mean they just have different attractions. I mean they do have similar. So for example, Space Mountain there has a double loop in it.
Oh,
and that was my kid's favorite Space Mountain out of the three parks. Pirates is different. That's so cool. You know, you will see YouTubers or whatever showing different Pirates of the Caribbean in different parks, which is neat. I mean, I really love the overlay at the Haunted Mansion. Garner Holt, he's been on my show before. He is in charge of the overlay at Haunted Mansion and Small World.
Oh.
And it's so fun. It's so fun because it's all Nightmare Before Christmas. So it's really neat. One thing also is there is somebody that won an actual tombstone in the Haunted Mansion. And his story is going to be in the next book. And it's so fun. It all went to charity, of course. And how cool is that to have your own Haunted Mansion, stones in Haunted Mansion? It was so amazing.
Haunted Mansion is my absolute favorite.
That's one of my go-to rides. My two go-to rides always in every park is Haunted Mansion and Pirates.
Mm-hmm. That's how we are too. And I, you know, whenever we get back from Disneyland and we try to explain to people who haven't been,
mm-hmm.
You know, the differences and how much longer Pirates is out there.
Oh, good Lord.
It's a lot longer, but I love
it. There's no fast passes because my husband and I, we had a fast pass and we're like, we're going to hold this off for Pirates. So it comes to the end of the evening and we're like, yeah, look at those, that crowd. And we're like, where's the fast pass line? And they're like, there is no fast pass line. It's like, oh.
Their lines seem to go fast out there. I mean, every time we've gone, maybe it's just the time of year that we go. It's not so bad.
You know what? It's a bit deceiving because we're used to seeing lines that can go outside the building. We know darn well that they're really long inside.
Yep.
But the very fact that they don't have the same amount of space in Disneyland.
Right.
So when you see a massive line outside, it isn't really too bad.
Nope.
So, yeah.
No, and I love that the Pirates is different out there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it better. Mm-hmm. And I also, one thing that we've talked about many times, because I love Disney history, when we, mm-hmm. The Hatbox Ghost. And
yeah.
I love the story of the Hatbox Ghost, how he was scary. He showed up, disappeared when they first opened the attraction at Disneyland so many years ago. And then when they put a version of him back in that attraction,
you know why he disappeared, right? So I know the Imagineer that worked on it.
Ooh, do tell.
Yeah. So basically, sometimes you think and visualize, have a vision before the technology is available, okay? And that's just actually what happened with the Hatbox Ghost. It just wouldn't go off as it was supposed to.
That's right.
So they removed it. And then my friend Jeffrey Shaver Oswich, that was one of his first Imagineering projects on doing the Hatbox Ghost. And he actually grew up in Florida. He lives in California now, actually not too far from friends of mine, and really nice guy. Those Imagineers, they're something special actually. But yeah, so they didn't have the technology that they needed to do that.
To do the effect, the face in the box.
So
they certainly have it now.
Oh my God.
I love him.
Yeah. It's really
cool. I love him. The last time we went, our Doom Buggy stopped right in front of him.
Oh, perfect.
I was so excited I almost jumped out the Doom Buggy. I was like,
I'm going to be banned.
But I was like trying to grab my phone, you know, because I know that we only get to go there maybe once a year, and it's mm-hmm. usually to cover for something.
Sure.
You know, we were there for Avengers Campus.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm recording it, and I'm just loving every second
yeah.
of it. And you know, and every time we go back to Disney World after that, you know, when you go through the attic and the bride's area, and mm-hmm. there's that empty spot mm-hmm. right there that
it's
the
like
hat box could fit, and then there's the controversy of, you know, the Disney historians. A lot of people in Disneyland don't want him at ours because that's ours. He was
right,
ours. It's
right.
just so funny how Disney
is that really why ours. They're not bringing it.
Oh, I don't know if that's why, because I know I had heard through the grapevine a few years ago that they were talking about putting a Hatbox Ghost for the 50th at Disney World. Well, that didn't happen.
No, yeah,
and that could be many reasons,
right?
At this point,
yeah, obviously.
You know?
Yeah, obviously.
There was no way that anybody was going to predict what was going to happen mm-hmm. down the road. No, this was like 5 years before
right.
the 50th.
Right.
So, I mean, I personally haven't lost hope that maybe. But then
there's room. I mean, I think
it's
it just
there.
Means a certain team pushing for that, and we get it.
But okay, you're a softie when it comes to Disney. So, how would you feel like? Do you think? I kind of get what the Disneyland people are saying because it's something special for that park. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Carousel Progress was too. And guess what?
That's true. All right, well, fine. And it's fair game.
Oh, yeah. It is. Absolutely. And you know what? A lot of the people, I'm sorry, but, and I like Carousel Progress. I'm sorry, but I like that ride. And yeah, it's special for me for some reason. I don't know. Maybe because I recognize stuff from my grandfather's house or something like that. Just different things. But that's my husband's snooze ride. It's terrible to say. He's been on it so many times that he has a little rest, so he never complains when I want to go on it. And my family's all hard, so,
and you know, and the air conditioning when it's really hot outside helps too.
Oh yeah, and you don't ever have to really wait for it too,
you
which is
don't.
Nice.
And you know what's funny is you were talking about seeing things that remind you of you and your grandparents. Mm. And when they get to the last scene, which I is that supposed to be the 80s?
Yes, I think so.
Or early
90s. Early 90s, I think.
But I noticed little things because you're sitting there long enough to pay attention, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the daughter and she's got her jeans rolled and pegged up with the scrunchy socks. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, that was me when I was a teenager.
Oh, I know.
Like the video and the mom's hair and the sweater. Yeah. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see them throw another room on there.
Oh, for sure. And they could because there's that whole blank, you know, when they're bringing you over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool though?
That would be.
And then just have something else there that goes past
into this
1990 or whatever.
21st century.
Yes, I think that would be really cool. But then
I gotta get on it, Michelle.
If anybody's watching, can you do that? But I think that's really cool. So I wanted to ask you before we start talking about the Figment mess from the other day.
It's not a mess, just things.
Not him, just the frenzy. I kept using the word frenzy because it was a frenzy.
Absolutely. Oh my word.
So you were talking about favorites. I'm going to ask you one more thing. So what is your favorite attraction thing, whatever, about Walt Disney World now that you are very familiar with that?
My favorite?
Okay. Okay, how about narrow it?
Sorry, I'm laughing because
Everything. What do you think?
You know what? Well, oh good Lord, Michelle.
I know, I'm sorry.
I love it all. Love it all. But you know what? I have to say, I love the Ratatouille ride. Oh, I love it. It's so good.
I like the music that plays in it.
Oh, I love it all. I love it all. And the thing is, so my husband's French Canadian. I speak French. So it was really just kind of got a little special thing to it for us. Of course, Rise is amazing too. I mean, and I have to say that, you know, I don't mention this often, but Flight of Passage is still one of those, I really do feel like I'm in another world. And I will get emotional off that ride. I don't know if anybody else does, but it's just like,
you feel like
so
you're
amazing.
It's the wind,
so
and
amazing.
The smells and the whole, like, it's
whole
just
thing.
So encompassing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, the latest, you know, Ratatouille is the latest for me. And I mean, I just love it. I think he's the only rat that I think is cute.
Right? I know. It's special to me because when my younger son loved Ratatouille, and he still does, but he went through a season of Christmas where he wanted Ratatouille everything.
Oh.
So when they opened the ride here, I had to get him on it because it just, and he's in line and he's humming the theme.
Oh, really?
He can hear it. And I'm like, my mom heart is overflowing. So I'm like, because
you know what I bought?
What did you buy?
I bought the jacket.
The chef jacket?
No, I did buy the chef jacket.
Good for you.
I gotta do some stuff with this. And I'm like, I'm not gonna wear an apron. I'm gonna wear a chef jacket.
They have the hat where the rat comes
out
the top.
I'm not that. Too much.
Too much?
I would end up in the soup.
Too much. All right, so at the end of the show, we're gonna talk to Kimberly about where we can find all her good projects too. But she, before time gets away with us, or from us. She was at opening day of Festival of the Arts as well. And, you know, it's so funny because this weekend, like, I don't know what could have happened in the whole world of Disney parks, but nobody cared. Everybody just this was all that they cared about.
It's true. It's really true.
It's true. So you were telling me that when you got there, the line was long.
Yeah. Well, when I got there, it wasn't as long as what it was first thing in the morning, but when I got there, 3 hours long. I was supposed to get a couple. I'm like, yeah, I'm not standing in line. But isn't he adorable?
He's really cute. And I really like the strap on him. And where's the strap?
Scott, it's inside the
bag. Oh, it's inside.
Okay. So can you actually put your hand in and get stuff like easy?
Yeah, he's got, he opens in the back. But I don't I don't know why. Just pull it.
See, pull this wings? Oh, there.
This is somebody else's
Oh,
bucket.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's the thing that you can put, I'm going to flip them for you. So there's a hatch in the back and you can see the popcorn. Now it was supposed to be rainbow popcorn, but they ran out. So they started making little bags, but they have this really great strap that goes with it. And it's got the Walt Disney World 50th on there with the little silhouettes of penguin. So, we were there all day and I had a friend that wanted a bucket, but she had deleted her request, let's say, when she found out how the line was. She goes, I take that back, you're not standing in that line. So when I was there at one point, and cast member said it was around 8 hours to wait.
Insane. And people do. And people were. They were there.
And like we had talked before the show started, I think a lot of the reason that is because normally when Disney puts out like a popcorn bucket, they're sold out. If it's okay, let's use 50th anniversary merchandise for an example. People were in, not I'm saying that it wasn't a good thing, but people were in there pushing and trying to get this merchandise and it was gone in a couple of hours. So I think maybe people were still thinking about everything that just happened in October. And if they need to get it, they need to do it quickly or they're not going to get it.
Well, the crazy thing, I was looking at these people in line for 3 hours when I got there and I thought, what if those people, the last 10 get there and they're sold out? Can you imagine? I couldn't even imagine.
No.
But as the case is, that's not going to happen.
Well,
right?
that we know of. So the next day I was watching online because, people were wanting to know updates. It was almost like everybody was doing a watch. So how long is the line now?
Yeah.
And then the next day it was roughly about 2 hours. And then yesterday I went to get this for my friend and then get one for a giveaway. And we waited in line about 45 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe I probably would have done that. Probably.
And the weather was cold. Yes, it gets cold in Florida. And it was raining when we got there. So I think that helped. But when we left Friday night, it was very chilly. It was about 7:30 and the kids were cold. They might want to go home. And that line was...
It was still long.
It started... So for those that are unfamiliar, the food kitchen that these were at was the Pop Eats booth. And that's across from Starbucks. Now, that line went from the booth all the way around the water, you guys, up the middle. And at one point, it went all the way to Mexico.
Now, really?
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't there when it was
that. That's
crazy.
No. And, you know,
wow.
I get it that people, really want what they want. And they were afraid it was going to be just like the 50th and sell out. But when we were there yesterday, we were seeing how they were doing things. Because, like, we were standing in line. And they were pulling out these big, big cardboard boxes full of them. Now, they did run out of the rainbow popcorn. But, they had a line system going where you pay at the booth and then you take your ticket over and pick it up to try to get people through. But it looked like they had quite a bit. I don't know if it's going to last the whole festival, but I mean, so all I'm saying is there is hope.
Right. And I would think like go there early because even the artists that wanted one, they're like, yeah, we're going to have to go there early in the morning before they, because they can't really go anywhere and they definitely can't stand in line for a bucket.
No. So being that you didn't spend your whole day in line for a bucket, what did you try anything good to eat? Did you go to see anything good in the art booth?
Well, I wanted to say hi to all my friends that were there, actually, because it's rare to get everybody in the same area at the same time. So yeah, I just had a great old time visiting with my friends that are in the festival and checking things out, buying stuff, since I have a Florida home here, I get to buy some things for it and I don't have to worry about carting it back to Seattle.
That's a plus.
That was fun. So it was really fun actually. But I was really surprised at how busy it was.
It was
like
packed.
I took a photo of the crowds and I'm like, because anybody can hop after two. And I'm thinking everybody's hopping from the other parks into that park after two. It was insanely busy.
It reminded me of how things used to be for opening weekend of Food and Wine.
Oh, yeah.
And usually the art festival is not, is not this bad. But I don't know if everybody's just ready to get back to normal and get back to doing the festival.
Well, I think so. And, I think it's a they, you know, these artists will sell out of their stuff. And, you know, they can only guess how much to bring. I mean,
well, yeah. Like
anybody that has any product, you know, they just type, kind of take a guess. And I said, what happens when you run out, you know?
Right. But, and I thought about that too, because normally the Art Fest is the more low key, relaxed, not too
busy. It was not.
It was.
Not this year.
Packed. So hopefully they brought a lot of extra supplies or can get extra supplies, because it is definitely different.
Oh, it is. It is. And it was, and it, you know what I have to say? It was very festive.
It was.
Did
it was fun. It was. I had a really good time walking around. The mood was very positive and upbeat. And you know, sometimes you go to these festivals and people are a little bit grouchy, they're hot, they're crowded, they're this and that. And the weather was beautiful for opening weekend. Nobody, and it seemed like everybody was just happy to be there.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was really nice. I had a great time.
Yeah, both the artists and the guests. Yeah,
it was wonderful. Sure. And it's nice to see some sort of normal, you know, that people are out and having a good time again. And it's
smiling. You can see smiles.
And even the people in the popcorn bucket line were smiling. I don't know how.
Well. I don't know. They must have tag teamed it, or I mean, that's probably what they did.
Because, I can't imagine. It's funny because I was teasing my boys when we were walking in, and they saw the line go all the way around the water, and I'm like, okay, like who wants to take the first shift? And they're like, they thought I was serious for half a second. They're like, really? I'm like,
but that's probably if somebody if there is a family there and they have like one day, what are they going to do? Have maybe somebody bring somebody along that doesn't want to do anything and have them
like somebody that really doesn't care about the food or doesn't care about the ride. Yeah. Just, you know, and what's interesting is I was putting out updates about popcorn wine, and those posts went crazy because everybody was so fascinated because they've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, and he's so darn cute. I mean, isn't he? Yeah. And he's big.
He is. Yeah, you know what's funny?
I think he was going to be.
So many people say that he's big.
Well, look at him. He's ginormous.
He is very big. But it's just, it was very interesting to see the dynamic for what people are willing to do to get like a favorite product.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Is there anything that you can think of on the top of your head that you might wait in a line like that for?
Oh, good Lord.
Or just even a maybe, you'd consider it. Doesn't mean that you would do it for sure.
Maybe for a special purse.
Maybe.
Maybe for a special Harvey's bag. But then I know the Harvey, so I wouldn't wait in line.
But you know, you're like, I just want this one. I bought the Haunted Mansion set. This, like,
oh, did you?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I did.
Yeah. You know? Like, maybe. Like, I'm just saying maybe I'd do that. But I do want a couple of these little guys. My daughter, when she was younger, she did a little mole. She did a sculpture of, I did a very good job of Figment that I have stored in my little Disney, you know, curio cabinet. And I thought it'd be really fun to surprise her. She's 25, but hey, it doesn't matter. You're never too old or young.
No,
or busy.
And now the lines are short.
Yeah, I know. So I'll have to see about when I can get back into it.
But you know what's interesting is that I was thinking, because I overthink everything, and if I were that person that waited all day like that, and then the next day people walked up in 2 hours, and the next day someone walked in a half hour, I'd be like, ugh.
Oh,
but normally that doesn't happen. Normally they sell out in about an hour or two, and this is a first. So I'm wondering if Disney is, you know, looking at that supply and demand, like after they had all the hysteria over the 50th merch.
I don't know, because you know what I was just thinking when you're talking about that, people not wanting to wait in lines. If you want to spend a lot of bucks and get them on eBay, I was shocked because these sell for $25, mm-hmm. and eBay I saw $200 a bucket.
One of them sold for $1,000.
$1,075.
What did you see?
$1,075, and then they also paid $9 to ship. I couldn't believe they had $9.
Should you just throw
in
the shipping at that point if you're spending?
Now, guess what? Disney's going to think this is not, you know, we need to charge more.
Right?
That's crazy.
Yes. And
oh, my. Good Lord. Now I've heard everything.
Right? $1,000. I can't even imagine. I mean, I was trying to talk to the kids, and I was thinking, is there something that I would wait in line like that for? And I'm a huge Rapunzel fan. She's my favorite. Mm-hmm. And if they had a really fancy Rapunzel bucket, I might.
Mm.
But It's a long time. And if I were just your average guest, I'm lucky I live 10 minutes from property, so mm-hmm. I can go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But let's say, you know, I was there with my family and we only had so many days at Disney. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want to spend my entire day in line. I would rather be going and doing a different thing.
I'm semi-Floridian now, so it's like, I know.
Doesn't it change, though? When you're absolutely. A local, you look at things so differently. Oh, yes. Like the local mentality is like, we can run over and have a snack and maybe ride, and then we can leave. Because we can come back another day.
You know, we had one of those extra magical nights just last Tuesday. My husband finished work, and I'm like, let's go to Hollywood Studios. And everything just was in sync. Like, it was just incredible. And then it was dressed as Christmas yet, because we didn't go there before Christmas to Hollywood Studios. But it was just extra special. It's so fun. I'm like, it was just so neat. I said, we have to do this. We have to do this more often. You know, finish up work and we'll just like just run over there. Yeah.
You know, and we do that plenty of times, like when, you know, school is over and, you know, like you guys want to run over to the studios, because my boys, their favorite parks are Studios and Epcot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, it's easy to get them to go for a few hours and they don't have to be there all day.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no
and way. I'm sure I was the envy of everyone because I had a scarf, a nice Red Bull scarf and my jacket, because, oh my gosh, people were freezing in their shorts and t-shirts and I got so bad for them. I was just like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here with my winter coat. Well, semi-winter coat. But
so you can verify for me, because we always have people tease. Because we're from Michigan, and so we're Midwest, and you know, they like, you forgot what cold is like. Tell me, doesn't it get cold in Florida?
Oh, it does get cold. You know what? So I grew up in Alberta. I mean, we had 8 months of snow all year, right? And it would be like people are telling me, you know, minus 40, minus 50. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I don't think I'd survive 1 minute of that anymore, but it's the humidity with the coldness. And I think it's going to like 32 in some places. And I'll never forget being at Fort Wilderness one Christmas. And they had fresh grapefruits on the trees. We'd climb on the picnic table and pick, it's the best grapefruit I ever had in my life. But they actually came around and told us to leave the taps dripping a little bit so that our pipes wouldn't burst. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we just escaped this. What are we doing here today? You know? But it's rare. And you know, it was such a treat to be here just before Christmas when it's like 82, 84.
Yeah.
You know, it'll come back. But it can get cold. It's a bone chilling cold.
Thank you. I use that as those exact words because everybody teases me that, you know, I've lost my Michigan crib.
We might have lost a wee bit. Just a wee bit. But yeah.
It's cold is
cold. Your blood's thinner.
Her blood thinner too.
Your blood stays a little bit thicker.
Is that it?
So when you move down here, your blood gets thinner because of the heat, and then the same way like Arizona, Nevada, California, their blood's a little bit thinner. So that's why the cold bothers you more when it doesn't seem as bad as it should. In Michigan at 50 degrees, they're like, hey, it's 50. Go out without a coat. And they'll go swimming when it's here when it's 50, because they're used to negative 10.
That is true. The other day we were freezing. And we left and we drove past one of the resort communities that has like the townhomes and stuff, and they have a little water park, and there's people in the pools.
Those are the northerners.
We were just jackets and all this stuff, and I'm like, they're swimming. I was just getting cold thinking about it, but it's just different how you see it.
I'll tell you. So one of the things we got when we got our little place here was a hot tub, because hot tubs, heaven in a tub. And we discovered, you know, we found out that we could see the fireworks from Magic Kingdom. Yeah, we can see the fireworks.
Even better.
I'm like, whoa. And you know, actually, when it was raining yesterday morning, I'm like, we got to get the hot tub. It's raining. And we've been in the hot tubs when it's snowing, not here, of course. But it's just so special, and it feels so good after a park day. Oh, my word. Yeah, the best.
So we're almost done with our show. If anybody has any questions, Scott is, as you can hear, he's fielding.
They've all just been watching and little comments here and there and a few comments about they love your books.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
And then they were talking about standing in line. One person said they'd stand 6 hours to meet Patrick Stewart.
That might be different.
But yeah, everybody here's just, I think they've all been fascinated just listening and listening to the stories. And like I said, a few people have been like, they've already gotten the book and they love it.
Oh, awesome.
And Kyle just said he loves spending time in a hot tub. I'm with you. Oh my God. So in addition to this wonderful cookbook, what else do you have that you've written?
Oh gosh. So the whole Positively Disney book series, which are heartwarming stories from the artists, from the animators, guests, cast members, the actors from all over the world, actually. And it's their love of Disney, the impact Disney has had on their lives. And it's really surprising to find out the very nature that got these people to where they are today. And also the interactions between guests, cast members that really have profoundly changed either people's lives. It's pretty amazing. So that's what I do. So book six is coming out this year. Book five is the Star Wars edition, and there's a second edition of that coming out. So more stories are going to go into that in time for Star Wars Celebration this year. So that's in the works. And should I mention about next year?
You can mention whatever you want.
Okay. So there is going to be another cookbook next year because what's happening is I'm very grateful, like, that people love the book, and a lot of celebrities are saying, if we would have known about that book, we would have been a part of it, because I'm not sure if all of you are aware of this, but I'm working with the charity Feeding America, and 50% of all proceeds of the book go to helping fight hunger and feed our American families. So
I told you she's a wonderful person.
I'm trying to use a little bit of my talents to help.
No, that is great. And if those of you that have not checked out Kimberly's books yet, where can they find your collection and this book?
Yeah, so you can get it on Amazon, or you can order it in your local mom and pop bookstore. There's two versions actually of the cookbook. There's a limited edition, and it is limited edition after those print, you know, we printed the number we did, and that's got the embossing and foil cover. And the regular edition also is available, which is just as nice. But this one is just, you know, it's got a little extra Disney magic in it.
So. It's got a little extra pixie dust,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming and spending this time with us.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to be here live. You know?
I mean, we had fun when we Skyped it, but this was great. That's having great. You actually here. And I know that our viewers will have enjoyed it as well, because Scott's been watching comments and shaking his head.
I've seen a few people order the books while I've been sitting here. So
that's perfect.
Alicia just said I ordered the cookbooks for my sister and myself. Sarah, books ordered.
Thank you.
Wonderful, because definitely easy, fun recipes from some of your favorites, and Kimberly did such a wonderful job. So definitely look up her Positively Disney series, and this book is great. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. We could talk here all night.
We could do a marathon. Maybe one day we'll do like a 12-hour marathon for charity.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, we'll just get coffee. Sit here and like just.
Might get a little interesting towards the end.
It would. See, our audience is used to having some up and down and a little bit of crazy, so they love it.
I'd be into that.
Oh, yeah. It's great. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful week. And again, thank you, Kimberly. And I will see you guys next Monday back with Scott. So have a great week, and I'll see you.